So today we're going to look at living life in the kingdom of God, and we come to a passage where Jesus is sharing about prayer. He teaches on prayer on the Sermon on the Mount using the illustration of the Lord's Prayer. From the moment we give our lives to the Lord, from that moment we seem to be encouraged to pray. I mean, Jesus even starts off his teaching right here with when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. In other words, just as with giving that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is something Jesus just assumes that Christians will do. They have been blessed. And we've talked about that this morning. We've been so blessed about of how Jesus has died on the cross and given his life for us and how God is there for us all the time that Jesus just assumes that we're going to want to pray and we're going to want to talk with him. It's just a natural thing that will come from our hearts, right? As we're blessed. Yet often we are intimidated by coming into the very presence of Almighty God. I mean, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the creator of all the universe. Who are we that we would come into the very presence of God and that we would be able to talk with him? Sometimes we can be intimidated by that. Sometimes we can be intimidated by those who have been Christians a long time and we listen to them pray and we go, oh, I can't pray like that. I mean, the words they use. And maybe I might not get the words right, or maybe the order of what I say is not right. And we're intimidated. So we don't pray. But let us look at how Jesus teaches us to pray. And I'm not going to go into real depth here. We looked at the Lord's Prayer about a couple of years ago, unfortunately before we were recording the messages, but we did a whole series on the Lord's Prayer. So I'm just going to look at some surface things here, and I would encourage you to just meditate on them. So let's start by reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It says, "And when you pray," not if you pray, but "and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." When we pray, Jesus is stating that it needs to be a prayer from a sincere heart. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law were not praying with a sincere heart. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about giving and how the Pharisees and the Sadducees took their money and made sure that everybody knew what they were giving, when they were giving, and who they were giving to. So people would look at them and say, oh, what a great person they are. Well, some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing the same thing with prayer. They would pray in the synagogues. Not that it was wrong to pray in the synagogues, but they made sure everybody knew that they were praying and that everybody heard what they were praying. And they would pray in the temple and out in the courts and in the streets, in the marketplaces. And there's nothing wrong with praying in the streets and the marketplaces. But what is the heart of the whole issue? Are we just praying in the streets and the marketplaces as the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, that just so we would be noticed and people would think, wow, they're great? Because Jesus said they're just hypocrites. In fact, Jesus states in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They just want to be seen. They're just interested in publicity. Jesus is not interested in lip service. He desires that we pray, our focus, our attention is on Him. He wants us to have one desire and one desire only, that when we pray with a sincere heart, a heart that is devoted wholly to Him. That's why He states that we should pray privately. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying publicly and in church or in the streets or wherever. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are times when we need to pray privately, because when we're praying privately, then our focus is where? If we're shut in within a room with nobody else, with nothing else happening, where's our focus? It's on God. It's not about who's looking, who's listening, what words we're saying, if we're saying them in the right order. Just to let you make sure everybody hears me right, that there is no right order. There's no secret formula in talking to the Father or talking to Jesus. It's just talking. It's just coming and saying, here I am. I want to talk with you. I've got some things on my heart. See, what's important is where our heart is. If we have a sincere heart as we pray, a heart after the Father. And as we pray with a sincere heart, we also need to pray with a thoughtful heart. Listen to verses 7 and 8. Jesus exhorts, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." I like the ESV translation of this verse. It states, "Do not heap up empty phrases." I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. What Jesus is stressing here is that we don't just say the same thing over and over again. We don't just maybe do chants or whatever. We don't say things and words and actions just for others to see. We don't just completely repeat over and over again. Also, Jesus is talking about memorized prayers. We've all been there. We might have said bedtime prayers or grace, which were memorized. You know, we'd say the same grace three times a day. And in fact, it is so ingrained in us that we didn't really think about it when we said it. Have you been there? I've been there. Our family, when I was a child, used to say, "For what we are about to receive, may we be truly thankful. Amen." Said that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, it didn't take me long to think about what we said when I was writing this. It was so ingrained. But let me tell you, when we pray like that, are we really putting any thought into what we are saying? For me, it was just words that I'd memorized. It was babbling. really. They were just words. There was no thought. I never thought, honestly, how thankful I was to God for my food. They were just words that we said before we could eat. And my daughter's going, I remember those prayers. And truly, there's more to it. Don't get me wrong. Those prayers are good starters in learning how to pray. But we must grow in our prayer life to where there's some substance in them. It's good to have milk, but if we were just living on milk still today, and you didn't have hamburgers and hot dogs and steak and or vegetables, we wouldn't be very happy. We need to have some substance in our prayer diet. When we pray, it must be done with a thoughtful heart, a heart that is engaged as we pray. And honestly, there's been times when I've prayed and I've thought, am I really engaged here? I know you folks haven't been there, but I've been praying and my thoughts have wandered way over here. And I'm thinking, oh, how did I get there? I'm talking to the Father. Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer. And as he teaches us, he's saying that it's not something just to be memorized and rattled off. And we used to do that in school. When I was a kid, you don't do that in school now, but when I was a kid, we said the Lord's Prayer every day, every morning. Yeah. But he taught it is a pattern of prayer. Jesus wants us to think about what we were saying and that it comes from our heart, our Father who is in heaven. Wow, he's our Father. And he's not just anybody, but he's the creator of the universe. He's the Lord of Lords. He's in heaven. He looks down. He controls the weather. He controls everything. His hand is here. Jesus wants us to be engaged, a thoughtful heart. You know, Jesus is saying not to babble or to use empty words or many words is not a contradiction to what Paul writes, where he says, continually pray. It's not wrong to pray the same thing day after day or year after year. Maybe I'm praying for the salvation of somebody, that they would come to know the Lord. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying we need to be engaged with a thoughtful heart. And Paul is saying we need to continually come to the Father with our requests. It's okay to pray for the same thing more than once. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. So, it's not about how long we pray, as much as our prayers are from a thoughtful and sincere heart. Think of Peter's prayer. Remember Peter? Jesus is out on the water, and Peter sees him, and Jesus says, come to me. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he walks on the water. And as he's walking on the water towards Jesus, what happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink. But as he's sinking, he prays. Does he stop and does he say, oh Lord, my Heavenly Father, I want to just take this time because I feel like I've taken my eyes off you and I'm starting to sink. Because by that time, he's at the bottom of the ocean or the lake. No, what Peter says in his prayer is, Lord, save me! A simple prayer. A short prayer. A sincere prayer. A thoughtful prayer. He's thinking, I'm drowning. I need you. There is nobody else here that can save me. The waves around me are big. A sincere and thoughtful prayer. Also, when we pray, we are able to pray with a heart filled with confidence. Jesus taught us to pray by addressing our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 6, 9, in the last half of the verse, we read this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We have a relationship with the Almighty God. He's not just a figurehead to us. He's not just something, a statue. We have a relationship. He's our Heavenly Father. And we're his children. We can come into the Heavenly Father's presence with confidence, knowing as his children, he's going to accept us. He's never going to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little busy right now. Or I'm at work. Don't call me. He's our Heavenly Father, and we are his children, and we can come into his presence. He is never going to send us away without hearing us. In 1 John 5:14, it reveals, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we seek, or if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. He doesn't say, oh, I can't hear you right now. My son and my daughter don't think twice if they want to talk with me or come over. They don't go, oh, well, I don't know. They know that if they come to my house or if they phone me, that I'll listen to them. But they don't think twice because I'm their father. And they're my children. They're not fearful of coming and talking to me. I mean, sometimes they might have been, but our Heavenly Father, we can come into his presence at any time. We don't come as beggars and lobbyists hoping that God will listen. Gee, I hope that God will hear me today. We don't have to beg him. We come as his children. As we come into relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 3:12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Wow. We pray with a sincere heart and a thoughtful heart, which is filled with confidence, not fear, as we approach our Heavenly Father. And when we pray, we need to pray with a heart focused on God's glory. It's all about God and his kingdom. As Jesus said in verse 10, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. After we realize that we can come to the Father with confidence, we need to recognize that it's all about coming, and it's not about coming with a list of our wants for our lives so that our lives will be more comfortable and easier to manage. That's not what prayer is all about. It's not, oh, Lord, come and bless me so my life will be easy and comfortable and that I can manage it all. No. It's about coming with a desire of His kingdom to come here on earth. That His will would be done. And what does that look like? Well, our desire needs to be that His kingdom will be established in the hearts of others. That our hearts must be for our families, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies, that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. That they might know His saving grace. That they might know the Father's will. For His will is that none should perish. But it's even more than that, that they might know Him as their Lord. Make Him the supreme being of their life. It is that all people would praise and glorify God as He is the King of Kings. As we pray, may our hearts be focused on God being glorified. That's the biggest glory that can happen, is that the kingdom can be expanded, that people come to know Jesus, that people in Crash Creek and Ashcroft and the areas around come to know Jesus. That is the biggest thing. And after we realize that our prayers need to be to glorify God, that His kingdom would come and that His will would be done, then we must pray with a humble heart. Listen to verses 11 to 16. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. After we've prayed for God's kingdom to come, Jesus states that we are to ask for our daily bread. What is our daily bread? Is it just bread? Is Jesus just talking about a loaf of bread? That's what we need to pray for? You pray for your daily loaf of bread? No, He's talking about our daily needs. Whether that's food or clothing or shelter, our needs, our basic needs. We don't come demanding, but with a humble heart. Because we recognize that He is the Almighty God. He is the one who can and will supply all that we need. Our Father is the one who holds all things in His hand and withholds no good gifts from His children. Our hearts are humbled that our Father would care enough about us that He would provide our daily needs as we ask Him. Yet there's more that humbles our heart, is the fact that God has forgiven our debts, not our financial debts, like some of us would love to have Him do that. We've all thought of that from time to time. Let's just forgive our financial debts, Lord. But a debt that's much greater. He has forgiven our debt of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We are humbled again as it is only by Jesus giving His life to pay for the debt that made it possible that we could even come to the Lord, come to the Father in prayer. Without Jesus forgiving our debts, without the Father forgiving our debts, we can't even come to the Lord. He made the way. How humble should our hearts be when we start to ponder that the Almighty paid the debt and made a way for us to be part of His kingdom. And next, Jesus tells us to pray that we would not be led into temptation, but delivered from evil or the evil one. And we once again are humbled because when we start to think about temptations and when we start to think about the evil one, we start to realize that we can't do it on our own. We can't resist the temptations on our own. We try, and we can get so far. But the evil one is crafty and sly. Satan is evil. And he's greater than we are. Even Michael, the archangel, would not confront Satan on his own. So our hearts are humbled when we pray, God, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one, because we know that He is the only one that can help us out there. We know that through Jesus in us that we will be able to resist and stand strong against the temptation and the evil of the world. While Jesus was in the garden, He said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." We are humbled by such an amazing God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all there to help us in our daily journey as we live life in the kingdom of God. So as each of you know, we could spend weeks looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we have done. Yet what is important to take away today is not if we pray, but when we pray. And when we pray, it is not about being seen as a super spiritual person. It's all about our heart. We pray with a sincere and thoughtful heart. We pray coming in confidence and with a humble heart. And it's all done with a heart that wants to bring glory to the Father for the furtherance of His kingdom. When we pray, a sincere heart, a thoughtful heart, a confident heart, a heart to bring glory to God, and a humble heart. May it always be. Let's pray. Father, we come to You. And truly, Lord, You humble my heart. And I think each one of us would say the same thing. We can't even imagine that as small as we are and as mighty as You are, that You just want us to come and talk with You. Just as we talk with our friends. Because You are our friend. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege that You give us to pray. May our hearts always be sincere. May our hearts always be thoughtful. May we always be engaged when we're talking with You. Thank You that we can come as Your children in confidence. Thank You Lord, we want to glorify you. And may we never exalt ourselves above you. May we always be humble. May you receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.